Well, today was the day a lot of people got some stimulus checks, or they were mailed out, or that was digitally deposited for them. Americans receiving as much as $1,200, depending. If they had kids, it might even been a little higher. So what should we be doing with that money when it comes? Do we want to save it? What's everybody thinking on that front? We wanted to break this down. Craig Bolanos, the founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove, is on the phone to help us kind of figure that one out. Hi, Craig. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jen, thanks. It's fantastic to be back. And thank heavens the money is starting to flow into people's bank accounts to provide a little bit of relief. Now we've all got to strategize what is best for our unique situation.
Okay, so that is the question, because I know a lot of people are saying, you know, $1,200, it's kind of like a drop in the bucket. There's a very big bucket here, and it is hemorrhaging money as people are forced to close down and do all these other things, and money is tight, rent is tight, I mean, car payments, all of it. So what should people do? I mean, is it immediate, just go with the food and rent kind of a thing, or food and mortgage? Or, I mean, it's not like you can pay off a lot of bills with that money.
No, listen, I agree. Whatever stimulus they provide, it can't be too big. It can't be too bold. And this doesn't solve anything. But you know what it does do? Depending on your situation, it's kind of like a pressure relief valve. This could represent maybe 2 or 3 months of car payments. It could represent a single month of rent. You could stretch this into groceries. The bottom line is, I think what people should do is make sure they're securing their household, which is, again, nothing more than food and shelter. So that's the first place this money goes. If we already have a job, we still have income, the food and shelter is not a concern, then I would say, do we have an emergency fund? Because we might need it coming up in the future. I don't want to be paying down bills, doing principal curtailment. I just want the money to go into the bank in that situation.
So what if they're, what are you seeing, Craig, as far as people being forgiving with bills, like, say, car payments? Are some people letting you take a few months off? I know some people with rent are getting a 10 or 15% discount, depending on the management company. What are you seeing as far as forgiveness goes with payments? How flexible are companies being?
Well, you know what? There's going to be, you're dealing with companies, and then you're dealing with the human element, which is people, depending on who the landlord is. And the first thing I tell everybody is this. If you are under financial harm from the disease we call COVID-19, people understand it. People get it. Your situation is unique to you. It's unique to your family, but it's common to so many. So don't be afraid to use the most powerful words in the English language, which is, can you help me? Mm-hmm. And when you start a conversation with, can you help me, the banker, the landlord, whoever's on the other side of that phone call, I think is going to be a little bit forgiving. And in forgiving, you're not going to see people say, hey, don't worry about it. We're just going to provide you a rent or a payment abatement, but they are going to provide you a discount, or maybe they'll allow you to omit your payments for the next 3 months, but you're still going to have to make them, because they'll tack the payments that you did not make onto the backside of the auto loan, onto the backside of the mortgage, onto the backside of the lease. People are doing that every day of the week right now.
So how does this stimulus money affect our tax refund, if at all? Because I know I didn't file mine for tax day yesterday, because I know we're extended through July. Is this going to affect that in any way as far as how much people will get back from the government?
No, that's a great question. So, you know, one of the first things I remind everybody, now that taxes and any tax liability is postponed to July, you know, that certainly doesn't mean you should wait. If you're entitled to a tax refund, I want you to file, and I want you to file now, and just know that the stimulus money from the CARES Act will be on top of any refund you might be entitled to by filing your Illinois or your federal 1040. So the two are what I call mutually exclusive. There's no interplay. And speaking of taxes, Jen, this money that's coming in, the $1,200 per person, the $500 per child, it is not taxable income, so you don't need to worry about setting anything aside.
That's excellent. And then there are some people talking about borrowing from their 401k. How much can somebody do, and what are the penalties involved with that?
Well, there's a ton of changes. You know, one of the things I'm happy about is when Congress got together with this CARES Act, and remember, any action is good action, they really loosen the rules around retirement accounts. And I don't want people to borrow from their future, but if it's a situation of getting evicted, having something repossessed, yes, we're going to access the retirement accounts. And here's the gig. So number one, there is currently not a 10% penalty on any withdrawals taken prior to the age of 55. Now, that's good news, because if people are in a pinch, they can go ahead and withdraw money from their 401k, withdraw money from the IRA. You're still going to owe federal taxes on it, but at least there's not a 10% haircut on top if you're under the age of 59 and a half. And that applies to an awful lot of people, because you can only borrow from a 401k if you're still employed. Now, if you're still working and you need extra cash because maybe your partner, your spouse has lost his or her job, you can borrow up to $100,000 from your retirement plan. That's double the amount you used to be able to. And there's much more flexible and generous rules on how that's paid back to yourself, with interest paid back to yourself over time.
Oh, and does it have to be paid back like over 3 years, or is that just vary on the 401k and on the program?
Yeah, so on the 401k, you're typically going to repay yourself over the course of 5 years. But Jen, you're always up to speed. You nailed it on the head. For people who withdraw money, very different than borrow, for people who take a disbursement from their 401k, for people who take money from their IRA, the government realizes that people are doing this in a time of hardship, and the government is hopeful that those people who are in a time of hardship might get back on their feet. So if you take money out today, the government's actually going to allow you to repay that money back into your 401k or IRA over the course of 3 years if you don't want to pay taxes. So it gets complex, but I think if people call a trusted financial advisor, that financial advisor should be able to walk them through the myriad of changes and find what's appropriate and most suitable for them.
And everybody watch out for scams. I got an alert that my one of my bank accounts was shut down because of attempts to log in incorrectly, multiple attempts to log in incorrectly. This is happening. People are desperate. People are trying. It's, you know, now more than ever, you want to be very, very aware of that. So I encourage everybody to be up on their digital thing, you know, change those passwords frequently. It's difficult to keep track of them, but you need to do it, because right now it is a dire situation in many digital fronts. And it's nerve-wracking to pay bills digitally because you're afraid they're going to lose a transaction. I know for the longest time, Craig, I was one of those people snail mailing my bills still with the handwritten check, because I just felt like that was an easier way to track the, you know, to track the payment with actual paper, because we all saw what happened in the primaries. I mean, digital can be very broken sometimes. While it's a blessing in many regards, it's harder to track, isn't it?
No, there's no doubt. I think everybody is thankful today for technology, but with that same thanks and open embrace, we need to be protecting our PII. I remind everybody, I literally put sticky notes on the laptops of my children when they went to college saying, protect your PII, your personally identifiable information. Because yes, believe it or not, even though college students, at least mine, they have no income, no assets, but they're the most likely people to have their identity stolen because they're careless and reckless in protecting us. Once we're all a little bit more mature in the work environment, we know we have something to lose. So, John, I'm so happy you reminded the audience, yeah, protect your personally identifiable information. And just remember, when it comes to the taxing authorities, the IRS will never call you. They only send letters. So be very mindful out there with all the phone scams that are happening.
Oh, yeah. They won't call you and threaten that they are sending someone to arrest you with an Indian accent. That's happened before. That's not happening.
Oh, wait. You have the same phone call I do.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Yes.
Brilliant. Oh, we love your wisdom. Craig Bolanos, founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Is there a website, Craig, for people to find you that's easy?
Yeah, absolutely. I want you to go out to investwithwmg.com. That's investwithwmg.com. And the Wealth Management Group has a plethora of content to help people get through the pandemic that is COVID-19.
Awesome. Craig, stay safe, stay healthy, all that stuff. Keep on those college kids to change their passwords, okay?
Will do. Will
Thank
do.
You.
And Jen, thanks for all you do, keeping us informed and positive.
Thank you. I'm trying my best, Craig. We appreciate